Four Midwest Guys presents...
People have heard the stories. They've read the articles. But they've never seen...
Marvel DC King!
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Marvel DC Kings, a Four Midwest Guys production, a show devoted to the fans of the Marvel DC TV cinematic universes, devoted to recapping the shows you love or love to hate. I'm your host, Enkenbauer, and with me today is Willenbrink.
What is going on?
Nothing much, man. And Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good. Okay, so we got a lot of stuff to throw out there this week, so because we took a week, like most of the DC TV shows, we took a week's hiatus.
We're back.
All right, so Batman v Superman hits theaters this weekend. We're not really going to talk a whole bunch about it because we don't want to do any spoilers, and there's been enough of those online. And
we'll have a review show up in about a week or so.
We'll have our review show up here probably about a week or so. While we were on hiatus, Captain America: Civil War dropped a new trailer on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
looks good.
You know, Black Panther looked badass.
His costume looks amazing. I mean, like, and that's a great character to begin with. But
it did. The costume looked pretty awesome. It wasn't the most talked about costume.
More people were talking about the Spider-Man one, how it looks a little CGI-ish in parts.
Yeah, I mean, but if you look, people are posting pictures. If you put the comic.
Well, yeah.
Next to the picture of the...
Terms of the design, it's dead on.
It is dead on. It is the closest representation we've seen to a comic, a true comic, than any of them.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think you can kind of have both both points that are kind of valid in some ways. Like, it does look a bit more CGI-ish than some of the other costumes, but at the same time, it is a pretty accurate depiction of it.
Right, and like we were talking about... you know, who knows if that's going to be the final view that we see.
Yeah.
You know, they may tone it down a little bit. They may add some the fiber stuff that you can actually see. Mm. They might add a little more of that into the...
Well, they might just... It might be an issue of how they added the lighting for that shot as well. Like, it could be that you look at other shots in the movie and it doesn't have that certain CGI look to it. Because there might have been just small tweaks, like Photoshop sort of thing, that made it look a little, you know, more unrealistic.
Right. The other thing we had found out is that Captain America: Civil War will have 2 hours and 26 minutes, making it the longest Marvel movie yet.
I think that kind of makes sense here, though, doesn't it? I mean, you're pretty much throwing almost everyone in the Marvel universe, with the exception of, like, Thor and Hulk. So
right, that's what
and I'm, even introducing characters right, like Black Panther.
Right, that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, you do have a lot of the characters in there, so going that far, but to that same degree. This is 2 hours and 26 minutes. So when we get Infinity War, and it brings the entire Marvel
with Guardians and everything else. They're probably breaking it up into two different parts, right?
Yeah, right, but you'll still have the entire Marvel universe.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, combined, it's either that or they're going to do what they did with, like, say, the Hunger Games part, where they break it down into, like, three or...
Well, they're
Hobbit.
Doing two. They are doing two.
Okay.
Infinity Wars Part 1 and 2.
So you're looking at somewhere between 5 to 6 hours between the Infinity Wars when that comes out?
Yeah, that's just nuts.
Well, I mean, what is the number of characters that's actually going to be in Infinity Wars? Because it's something like 90, right?
It was...
Guest appearances and stuff, yeah, I'd heard it was something close to that.
Yeah, like, it's close to 100 if you count, like, the small little appearances, like, you have, like, in Guardians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, like, 96 or something.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not even including the fact that they'll probably have, like, the Inhumans and, like, the DC, like, cinematic universe by then as well.
Right.
It's kind of a larger group.
Let's see, something else that happened for movie-wise. Justice League versus Teen Titans, DC's newest animated film, hits digital on March 29th. Comes out on DVD and Blu-ray April 12th.
Yeah, it's one of those features, like, DC's animated universe doesn't necessarily get the most hype in the same way as, like, say, Batman or Superman has got going up, but pretty much you look at their animated films, and they're all more or less solid. And this actually looks like it's going to be a pretty decent film.
Yeah, Brian, what do you think?
I'm excited for it. I'm not a big Teen Titans fan, but, you know, they've been pretty good with these DVD releases. Cinematic you know, animated cinematic releases.
Yeah, it almost seems like this is them trying to reboot the Teen Titans, like, because it is kind of like the Titans coming together in the film. And
yeah, I mean, if they actually took it seriously, I think Teen Titans could be good. I don't really care for the real cartoony version. I know I'm in the minority, but
no, no, you know. I'm agreeing with you. Like, the original Teen Titans, I was fine with. I thought that was a great show. Like, yeah, it had a nice balance between comedy and action. But the reboot they did, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, and keeps going. Like, it's dumbed it down.
It's meant for kids, and that's what it is, you know. So,
yep,
it's Batman: Brave and the Bold.
Right. Speaking of Batman, Lego Batman. They dropped the first official teaser trailer for us.
It looks amazing.
It looks pretty funny.
I mean, it looks hilarious. One of my favorite parts of the whole thing was, you know, as he's walking out, he's like, "Batman out," and he's like, no, wait, Batman back in. I forgot my mic drop. And then drops his mic and walks off again. I mean, that is just...
I don't know. To me, one of the funnier parts is, like, even when he's getting undressed and he's going to his robe, he keeps the mask on.
Yeah.
Like, the entire time.
His cowl stays on the entire time.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, that's my favorite food. Yes, I earned this.
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny seeing this because I really actually enjoyed the Lego movie, and Batman was a great character in it, but it almost... It's like creating a Batman parody.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it kind of works without, like, demeaning anything or, like, dumbing it down too heavily.
Well, it's because it's Lego characters. Yeah. You can't really take that seriously. I mean,
not too heavily, but at the same time, it's, like, it's kind of an interesting take, because especially because the complaint against DC has always been the dark, serious kind of reboot model it's going with. It's kind of a light-paced sort of thing that's kind of it's a nice mix to it.
Right. I like the... you know, he does that the same thing again, where he throws a bunch of the batarangs, and they all miss. He hits it with the last shot, and he's like, ah, first time.
Nailed it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Arnett's voice really works really well for that kind of overly confident, narcissistic sort of Batman.
Mm-hmm. Or when he does the very first part, and he's like, computer, I'm home. And she's like, it's like, what is that, the Siri voice, right?
Kind of
says, like,
yeah.
It's like, what did you do today? And he's like, save the world again, or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like there's that overly narcissistic kind of quality to it that's pretty amusing, actually.
Yep. What else we got in movie world? Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
New stills?
Yeah, it kind of showed some of the supporting cast on Themyscira. It showed the armor. It showed kind of the background of the area. It's a nice, interesting thing. It kind of gives you an idea of, you know, where the, like, costume design's going with the characters and such.
Yep. It definitely had a Clash of the Titans type feel.
A little bit, like it's.
As far as set design and stuff, it looked like that. I don't know if the movie's gonna be that way, but.
Well, I think a lot of the movies are gonna set in World War I, so probably not. But on that island specifically, yeah. Like, I found it kind of funny because they're Amazons, but even in the armor, they're wearing, like, heels, and it has, like, the classic boot plate that's not really functional, but it's aesthetically pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of amusing.
Pleasing, yes.
Just nice shiny orbs of metal.
Very nice. Very nice.
All right, so let's we'll go out of the movie world and back. We'll go into the TV world. Something that doesn't usually happen. For some reason, networks are renewing their shows really early.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they'll wait until it's almost, you know, the season's over, or, you know, and leave us in limbo, like, oh, are we going to see another, you know, is this the season finale or series finale? CW renewed every one of their shows. So, I mean, not just a couple. Not just...
Like all of them.
All of them. It went through the whole thing and just said, you know what, we're good with status quo. And like, they renewed Flash, Arrow, iZombie, Legends of Tomorrow, like, all of them. Even Supernatural, and then all the other ones that aren't comic book related, like Jane the Virgin, and
are they still doing Pretty Vampire Little Diaries?
Vampire Diaries, Pretty Little Liars, any of those?
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't really follow what all CW has anymore.
So, I only know those because my daughter watches one of them, and then
that's fair.
So so either the program director is incredibly lazy, or they just like what they have.
Well, I think they like what they have because, I mean, a lot of their shows are getting a lot of cred, especially the superhero ones.
Yeah, I mean, Flash has clearly been one of the best superhero shows on TV.
Yeah.
I think there might be a benefit to coming out early and saying you're renewing these shows just because of the changing landscape of media. Like, it's all kind of 24-hour news feed. It's all... You kind of want to keep the hype train going. To be honest, like, you don't want it to die down. It's like, is it coming back? Is it not? Oh, well, let's move on.
Right, and the other thing I think it does is it allows us fans to know what I'm investing in this season is not going to just end. Mm. I am going to get another season out of it. Because for a lot of us, Fox is really bad about this.
Yeah.
We invest in a TV show, and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah, there's the classic Firefly thing.
Yeah.
Where there was a lot of fans that were really pissed that one disappeared.
I mean, it's not just that. There's been a bunch of shows where it's just like, oh, this is great, and you know, it's not getting, you know.
If we're talking about CW shows, I mean, I think Reaper was kind of in that category a bit. Like, that was kind of a, you know, funny, humorous
Constantine.
Constantine.
They're still trying to bring that back, last I heard.
Well, I don't think they're bringing the show back, but I think he might be joining Legends of Tomorrow.
That might be a nice fit. Or at the very least, you know, you might see him in cameos here and there. Like, the actor that played...
Well, he did come back on Arrow
for
two episodes.
Yeah, the actor that played him did a decent job.
Yep.
Like, actually, I think he did it better than, like, the Keanu Reeves version.
Yeah, I think so, too. So, talk about the CW shows. The Flash, this week's episode, was Trajectory.
Yep.
Yeah. You have the scientist that's kind of abusing the V9 or her own variant.
V9.
Yeah, like, it's a very heroin/steroid kind of episode with that character.
It was kind of neat to have a female Flash for at least an episode.
Yeah, the female speedster?
Yeah, it was kind of nice. And then you kind of see her disintegrate at the end in that blue lightning.
Because she had so much in her.
She turned to blue lightning, which led to them conducting the whole Zoom theory.
Yeah, she had blue lightning first. And then all of a sudden, she was going so fast
that she disintegrated.
Mm. Right, so so like that gives them now their new plot theory of
Zoom.
If we get Zoom going fast enough, he'll kill himself off.
Yeah, right. Either that or he's going to kind of die off anyway because he's clearly sick in some form. It also was kind of a cool moment just because you got to see kind of Cisco using his abilities again, and that's kind of a character that's kind of interesting to see develop throughout the show.
Mm-hmm. You know, they did find out that Zoom is Jay Garrick.
Yeah, they had...
by vibing on the helmet, which caused, you know, a lot of turmoil in the group. You know, they were all felt like he was part of the group or something.
Yeah, they definitely seemed to connect with him, kind of brought him in, and they... I mean, even if you go back to the first season, there's issues of that kind of trust.
Well, it's that Harrison Wells thing again, you know, the whole trust thing. And it really affected Barry, and you could tell, you know...
Yeah, because it was another mentor figure that...
Yeah, as soon as he was out of there, and he, you know, he went back to the...
canyon.
The canyon where they were trying to do the jumps, and he just screamed at the end of the episode. I mean, this show just keeps getting better and better. Their quality, that's why I can't wait to see, like, Batman v Superman, The Flash, and all these shows, because they have a movie budget.
Yeah.
The Flash TV show has a TV budget, and it's doing this
Yeah,
as well.
But in Flash's defense, even with its TV budget, it's heads beyond what you're seeing like on Supergirl in terms of budget.
Yeah.
Or in quality. And it's way better than what you're seeing like even on like Arrow to an extent.
Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. They're using the Smallville theory. I mean, if you ask me, it's Smallville with Flash. It's what it is.
Mm.
It's similar. Very
it's
similar.
Very similar. Yeah, and then Smallville was awesome, so... You know why?
Except we don't have the we're not doing the
writer strike.
Yeah, we don't have the writer strike
or the build up to being the superhero.
Right, exactly. That's the other part.
Yeah, he is the superhero.
He already is the superhero.
You just see him develop.
We're seeing him getting faster, but he already is the superhero, and we're not seeing the you know younger versions of all these characters. It's all they're already all grown up, and that's how it happens. But speaking of Supergirl, this coming episode. Next week, we'll have The Flash.
Yeah, it'll have the Supergirl-Flash crossover episode where he's in an alternate universe, I guess?
No, same universe.
Is it?
It's the same universe. They actually made reference in the episode of Flash of...
Supergirl.
Supergirl City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I didn't catch that.
Yeah. So there is that little tie-in there. And another comic episode. So, like... we saw the one with the two Flashes.
Mm-hmm.
The front cover of that one comic was Jay Garrick on one side, Barry Allen on the other, mm-hmm. running towards the same girl saying, Flash, help me.
Yeah.
And they're both singing, Here I Come. This is the same episode with the fastest person on Earth, right? Except it's not Superman this time, it's Supergirl.
Yeah, I think there was either a Superman animated universe episode that had that plot, as well as maybe one of the animated films.
Yeah, they raced around the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so, I mean, that's going to be in this episode. Now, one thing, this past episode, right, we saw the formation of, what's her name? I pointed out before.
You referenced the Cadmus thing?
No, not the Cadmus thing. The girl with the voice.
Oh, Banshee.
Banshee, yes. So we actually saw, at the end of this episode, Banshee kind of come to fruition there with the, where she's falling off the rooftop drunk.
Yeah.
And she screams as she hits the bottom, and her voice actually keeps her from hitting the ground, and it causes the disturbance in the asphalt and stuff.
Yeah.
And then she hits the ground, like, a couple inches, just, you know, drops a little bit.
Like, it slows down her pace.
Right, and then looks back up, and, it's not Finn. Wynn. Is it Wynn?
I don't remember off the top of my head, actually.
The computer guy.
Yeah, right? I think it's Wynn.
You know, he's just, like, looking down, like, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and we already knew that she was going to be Banshee from the press release.
Mm.
And, you know, she was Siobhan, whatever her name is, which is Banshee.
Mm.
I'm hoping that because they're going to be on this next episode with Flash.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the graphics that they do with Banshee live up to the Flash.
You would kind of hope so, but even just looking at the character design for Banshee's costume, like, it looks kind of Halloweenish, like, more than you would think.
It looks very Halloweenish. So yeah, like, I'm not sure if it's going to be, but it looks good.
Yeah,
but I don't know how they're going to handle the CG part of it, the CGI part of it.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
They also mentioned in this last episode one of the big components in the comics, not just Supergirl, obviously, but Project Cadmus.
Yeah, Cadmus is a lot of the government cloning stuff and trying to emulate, like, superhuman powers. And
mm-hmm.
If you look at, like, say, Young Justice, like, that's how they, it's the organization that creates Superboy.
Right. So, who knows what that's going to bring.
Mm-hmm.
CBS went around and did their renewals for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Did they renew everything like CW did?
No. So left off the list was Supergirl and Limitless.
Hmm.
I don't know if you guys seen Limitless or not.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
It's pretty good. It even has cameos in it from the movie.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, like, it's based off a film, but I really don't know too much outside of that.
It's the one where they take the pill and they can use 100% of their, not really 100%, but, you know, more of their brain. And they,
film's really good.
Yeah. The film was really good, and the TV show is just as good, okay. In my opinion, anyway.
All right.
Let's see.
Is that CBS not renewing it right away, kind of waiting on it?
Yes,
or is
they, from what the internet's saying, is they're going to wait.
To renew it. Okay.
Like, it's not a gone kind of thing, but they're going to wait until the end of the season to announce it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to give Supergirl my first shot on Monday because I'm going to use the crossover.
I found it kind of hard to keep watching it. Like, I haven't even caught the last episode. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, it picks up in certain spots and then it goes right back to the kind of slow, overly dramatic kind of tension to it.
Yes, that's the one thing that I have noticed is that it gets going, and you're like, oh, this is good. And it's like, oh, this is going to be kind of, you know, the Flash does.
Yeah.
But then it pulls right back down to the Arrow kind, where it's just kind of, like, drawn out. And
to,
like,
be honest, I feel like Supergirl would have done way better on a different network.
Yeah.
Like, I look at this, and, like, it clearly has kind of the same writing style as a lot of other shows that are kind of more sitcom-y, kind of comedy sort of things.
Yeah. I've told myself I'm going to give it the first season, regardless.
Yeah.
you know, just because I, you know, how big of a DC fan I am.
I like the character, and I've been trying to power through the series, and it's picked up in spots. Like, I really love the Toyman episode.
Yes.
And that, none of the other ones have come close to that for me, so.
Yeah, it really has some lag, that's for sure. Let's see, what else we have? Gotham.
Yep.
Gonna have Clayface on there.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
It's an interesting character to put on, and the actor they have do it, I'm not really all that familiar with. But it's interesting whether they're going to give him powers in the first season, like we've seen with Mr. Freeze, or whether he's just going to be, you know, an actor on the show, or what they're going to do with him.
I'm just not sure how he's going to fit into the current environment. I mean, where we're at right now in the storyline, I'm just not sure. You know.
I'm not really sure how any of these characters are going to fit in this where we currently are in the storyline. It's like because we're so used to the whole Batman. I think you know what's funny is we talk about it and we see Batman as the animated series.
I'm not
going to lie. We don't see it as the comics.
Right.
We see it as, for me and you, I don't know, Aaron.
Yeah, I grew up watching the animated series.
Yeah, but the animated series, and that's where we learned about Mr. Freeze, mm-hmm. Harley Quinn, mm-hmm. the Joker, mm-hmm. Penguin, Scarf, you know, Two-Face, all of those, that's where we learned about them, right? So when they're talking about Clayface, I think Clayface is that giant
blob
kind of thing. Like, how are they going to bring Clayface in? But the comics actually wrote him different.
Well, I think it varies in the comics. Like, right. I've seen comics that
he was an actor or something and he got poured down his throat or something, right?
You see that in the animated series as well, though. Like, he starts out as an actor. Like, I think there's been one or two reboots, like, where he's, like, been, like, more militaristic, but it's not a lot that do that. My main question is, like, how do you defeat Clayface without a Batman sort of character? Like, you'd always have to use a character like Mr. Freeze to take him down.
That's about right. The only
and way. So that was what I was going to say. I think what we're going to find out is that freezes him, and then they put him in a
storage
cryo tube.
Well, either that or he's a character that's already
for within, Hugo.
You know, what is the Hugo's lab?
Indian Hill.
Yeah, like maybe he's a character that's already there and he escapes or something and. You know, Freeze is sent out to take him down or something.
That could be, or it could just be somebody who's already there and we just get to see him there. We don't actually get to see him do anything.
Yeah.
Because something's got to give because Gordon, he's out of the picture and mm-hmm. you're going to have Bullock trying to.
Well, not just that, but then you're introducing another villain that's like 20 years to 15 years older than Batman. Like, it's continuing the long trend of Batman eventually beating up a bunch of old people.
We've said it before, say it again. They've got their own license to do whatever they want.
Yeah, it's its own universe. I'm just waiting for it to go in a weird direction, like making... It's apparently the origin of Owlman instead of Batman. To something really weird. Like
something that. Off the wall?
Yeah. Like, and to be honest, if you look at how the show's gone so far, it's plausible.
Yeah, I would say so.
Thomas Wayne's dead, though.
Well, yeah, but...
So is Martha.
Well, in Owlman's Thomas Wayne Jr., he's just an alternate naming of Batman, or Bruce Wayne.
Right.
So you still call him Bruce, but he's technically still, he goes in that direction.
I thought, though, that Owlman was basically Thomas Wayne becoming Batman, because mm-mm. Bruce Wayne ends up being the one that gets shot.
Is it? I don't know, I was under the impression because it was Thomas Wayne Jr., not Thomas Wayne.
Because Thomas Wayne becomes Owlman, and his wife becomes like the Joker. It's like a split.
No, I think that's a different universe where Thomas Wayne becomes Batman and then his wife becomes Joker.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's so many different variants. It's kind of hard to keep track of it all.
Speaking of hard to keep track of, the new Daredevil, the new season, how many episodes is that?
13.
12 or 13, yeah.
12 or 13 episodes. So, it's a binge-watching day.
Yeah, it took me about 2 days.
But
I had to sleep.
But that came out. Yeah, that came out. What, 2 weeks ago now?
A week and a half, 2 weeks.
Right. So that's out there. We'll probably
Have a review.
We'll probably have a review of that here sometime soon when we all get around to watching it.
I watched it. It was great.
And at the end of it, Aaron says there's a Luke Cage teaser.
Yeah, it does a nice little teaser trailer for Luke Cage, who was in the Jessica Jones show and is getting his own. spin-off show or his own show on Netflix, I think September 1st, September 30th, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, September 30th. Yeah.
We're getting one step closer to the Defenders, I believe. As well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely expanding, you know, Marvel's, like, or TV universe on Netflix, and it's, you know, it's a good, you know, kind of show, and, or Daredevil was good, and it's, you know, seeing Luke Cage coming in and eventually bringing in Iron Fist as well.
I was going to say, I think Iron Fist is next, and then...
yeah, you'll probably see him pop up in Luke Cage. I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, it's really funny. I was just thinking about this. So... DC's TV universe is just like Marvel's movie universe, where there's comedy, it's lighthearted, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Marvel's TV universe is just like DC's movie universe, where it's dark and gritty and everything else.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think that might work better for Marvel, because you can kind of let, you know, the Netflix binges be more mature, and you can kind of, you can still get the larger box office ratings because you can take your kids to see the Marvel's films.
Right. Well, I just thought it was funny. I was thinking about
it.
I was like...
Yeah, it is kind of a contrast. I mean,
you
can make the argument maybe Agent Carter, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a bit more like the film universe, and that's a bit more lighthearted.
Right, but those were tied in, though.
Yeah.
I mean, 100% tied in. We saw Carter in Captain America, and we saw Phil Coulson in America, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but definitely if you're referring to the Netflix shows, it's definitely the more dark and gritty. The one advantage it has is it actually has more time to develop the characters. It has more time to kind of go through the nuances and details.
Correct, correct. All right, so that takes us out of the TV, unless you guys have something else you want to...
Nope, I'm good.
Okay. Let's see, let's go to our... we got a fan question.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it a question, more so as a scenario, like our thoughts on something.
Hypothetical.
Paul Hughes writes, the Justice League has just been killed by creatures of unknown origin, with only two survivors, Batman and Superman, both of which have gone missing. Now a group of 5 to 7 already known DC superheroes have come together to form a new team to defend the planet and also find the two missing Justice League members. So for each of us, we'll each pick our own team.
Okay.
Okay? And then we'll come up with, you know, you can talk about if you want to, why you picked two.
All right.
Pick.
Do you want to go over which Justice League members we assume are dead?
Or right, that's what I'm going to.
Yep.
And then what their name is. Okay, what your team,
the team name
is. Yeah. So the way we'll go with it, we'll assume by saying the Justice League members, we're going to go with original members. So we're going to say Wonder Woman, The Flash, Barry Allen, Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, Hawkman, Hawk Girl, Martian Manhunter, Cyborg, Green Arrow, and Aquaman.
All dead.
All dead.
Or missing.
Those are the ones that are dead because we're told the Justice League is gone.
Hmm.
We're not going to go into like Justice League Unlimited where they pulled all the characters in.
You kind of lose any opportunity unless you're just taking like a Suicide Squad approach to it.
Right. So we'll go. Those are the ones that are dead. Brian.
Yep,
let you go first.
Okay, so obviously if you lose that many people, there's not going to be a whole lot of people left. And they're going to be looking for their new saviors. So I came up with the Supernatural Saviors, which would be a team of...
Supernatural saviors.
Which was more of a collection of heroes with dark magic, I guess, or magical properties.
Okay.
Start with Shazam, who's pretty close to Superman. Then I go to Ra's al Ghul to kind of replace... Maybe kind of Batman. I'd throw Dr. Fate in there as well. He's not only does he have powers, but he's also kind of a Batman-esque kind of figure.
Okay, yeah.
You got Raven in there to kind of replace Wonder Woman. And then I had a little research on the last one, but Spectre, he's kind of a omnipresent superhero from the comics back in the 60s. He's kind of a... Just kind of use, like, magic, because that might be all that's left. Maybe all the metahumans and whatnot have been wiped out, or most of them have.
So okay, I mean, that's
a lesser-known group.
That's an interesting take, and the team name definitely fits with the with your magical thing there. Aaron, what about you?
I named my team Hound of Gotham, which I actually think is kind of a shit name, but you had Birds of Prey, which wasn't much better. That's what I'm sticking with.
Hounds of Gotham.
Yeah.
Hounds of Gotham.
So I'm going with the Renee Montoya version of the question. Batwoman, Red Hood, Arsenal, Starfire, Captain Atom, and Zatanna. You have Zatanna, who can travel through magical worlds, who is the more magical user. You have Starfire and Captain Atom, and as well as Arsenal, that really can just destroy the shit out of almost anything if they want to. And then you take someone like Red Hood, Question, and Batwoman, and can pretty much track anyone down within, you know, the areas they're familiar with. So really, it's a team that's kind of developed for actually, like, finding Batman, Superman, and destroying anything that kind of comes in their way.
That sounds like a really good team.
Yeah, a lot better than mine.
All right, so I kind of went in a different direction. My team name is the Justice Enforcers.
Okay.
So I have Green Lantern, John Stewart.
Okay. Oh, so you mean Green Lantern as John Stewart. John Stewart's version. Okay.
Yep. John Stewart's version of Green Lantern. Right. Wally West version of The Flash.
Okay.
Okay. Dr. Fate, like Wilmer had.
Mm-hmm.
Nightwing.
Yep.
Batgirl.
Okay.
Okay. And then these are the where I kind of changed things up a bit. I put the Joker.
Okay, so you're putting Batman's nemesis in the group?
Yeah, because the Joker, even though he is kind of psychotic, he knows that he can't have fun without his nemesis. So he joins the team with the only goal is not to protect the world or anything like that. It is his sheer goal is to find Batman, so that when he can bring Batman back, so he can start having fun again, toying with his nemesis, right? And then my seventh member,
yeah,
is Harley Quinn, and she's just there to help Mr. J, right?
Mr. J.
So I have two, we'll call them super villains.
Mm-hmm.
But their only purpose is to bring back Batman.
To find Batman.
So they can have fun nemesis, you know, that whole back and forth. Mm-hmm. The whole rock and immovable force.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
You guys like that one?
I like that one. That's good. Yeah.
All right.
There is something funny about Joker being part of, you know, the Justice sort of league, though.
Yeah.
In some ways.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to think, you know, originally I was thinking about doing Lex Luthor.
Mm.
That'd be a good one too.
You know, he did have runs where he was good in the comics.
Despite his hatred of Superman, he does actually seem to want to benefit himself and humanity to some extent.
Right.
He's just really screwed up.
Yeah. So yeah. That's why I didn't go with him, and I went with that because I really wanted Harley Quinn on there.
Yeah.
Well, who does?
So I went with Joker, so I could pull Harley Quinn in. So with that being said, you know, keep those questions coming. You know, this was a good scenario. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I love when we can talk about, you know, our individual ideas and stuff like that. Just giving a shout out to all the Twitter followers who jumped on board. You know, I'm up to over 1,800 on mine. Our main site is up to 850.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep jumping on board. Tell your friends about us. Anything we can do to get the podcast out there. Speaking of the podcast, you can find us on iTunes. So make sure you're going there, giving us, you know, your review. Whether it's good or bad, we're hoping it's awesome. But whatever
you want. Awesome.
Yeah. Whatever, just make sure you're going there and liking us on iTunes. You can find us on Twitter.
At the number 4 Midwest Guys.
Yeah, at number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find me at Ink Zone. You can find Willem Brink at B Willie 1977. Mm-hmm. You can email us. The number 4 Midwest Guys at gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook.
Yep.
Facebook.com/ the number 4 Midwest Guys. And now you can actually find us on YouTube.
Limited number, but we're working on it.
Well, going forward, we should be able to find all of our podcasts on there. We're working out some red tape issues with a couple of our podcasts, but for the most part, we got all that under control. Brian?
Other than, just when you're on iTunes, just search for us, the number 4 Midwest Guys. You should be able to find us on there. So, but thanks for having me, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on here. Aaron?
Yeah, thanks, man.
No problem. So for me, we'll see you next week.